Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Your host of the Knocking Doors Down podcast, Jason, here with you. And this is a best of episode. What really inspired me to do a best of was a recent direct message that came in from an individual who said, "Hey, sorry to bother you, but I just discovered your podcast. After 2.5 years of clean off of opioids, I was on the verge of relapse last night. I was staring down the barrel of 10 milligrams, and your interview with Edward Furlong came up on my feed. Instead of dosing, I ended up spending all night watching your videos, and they really helped. Again, sorry to bother you, brother. I know you probably get swamped with messages like this, but I just want you to know you and yours are really helping people, including myself, one day at a time. Thanks for the hope." And so I really want to put something out that'll maybe get some different people's attention, get them on the podcast, and hopefully more people like this. It's not necessary to send a message, but this meant so much that the work that's been done here on Knocking Doors Down has made a difference to at least one person. And that was always the goal. So Sean Kanan, of course, you might know him from Karate Kid 3, various soap operas as well. He did make his return in Cobra Kai. I wanted to include his segment on anti-bullying that we had a conversation with him back in 2020. And also Teresa Giudice, of course, of the Real Housewives of New Jersey. She talks a lot about her kids having some mental health struggles and getting them help. So I thought that was really valuable for anyone that maybe has a child or a grandchild or niece, nephew, whatever it is that is struggling with some mental health issues, and knowing that you can get them help. And there is nothing wrong with that. No stigma should surround that whatsoever. It is the best and right thing to do. Plus, my man Skinny Vinny, from part two of a conversation we had with him in 2021, he talks about dating sober, which is a huge challenge, one that I faced myself. And so I thought it was really insightful. And of course, as always, we couldn't do this without 5150 LTM. That's right, a lifestyle brand with a purpose. Of course, proceeds from 5150 benefit the Carlos Vieira Foundation, who we've partnered with as well. Three great programs: Race to Be Drug-Free, Race to End the Stigma, and the Race for Autism. So helping families that have children with autism. Race to End the Stigma is a scholarship program for individuals leaving high school, either they themselves, someone that they know and love, or they're doing work in the mental health community, so they are getting scholarships for that. And of course, the Race to Be Drug-Free, keeping kids off the streets, away from drugs, away from gangs, in free after-school activities. And sales from 5150 LTM do benefit the Carlos Vieira Foundation. So, hey, if you're looking to get yourself some swag, maybe a hat, t-shirt, sweatshirt, sweatpants, whatever it is, head on over to the store, 5150ltm.com. That link is in the podcast description. And use the code KDD20, get 20% off for yourself, or if you want to get someone else swagged out, maybe as a gift. We're going to start with Sean Kanan, then Teresa Giudice, Skinny Vinny. I also throw in some of the random questions that we asked him for some fun. So I hope you guys enjoy this best of episode of Knocking Doors Down.
Did your the training with martial arts kind of create a lot of that tenacity that you had and that toughness as well?
I think so. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, definitely my martial arts teacher was very hard on me. He was emotionally hard on me. He expected a lot out of me. I think there were times when he pressed me to see if I would quit or I would stay. And I think that helped me with a lot of the psychological difficulty that comes with being an actor. You know, it's very emotionally and psychologically challenging because you're constantly in a position of trying to find work, constantly putting yourself out there in auditions, and you know, 99 out of 100 times you're being rejected, and you have to learn to take that rejection and not see it as a failure, but to learn from it. To, you know, for me, I would say, okay, maybe I got to auditioned for somebody that didn't know who I was. Maybe I got to prepare for a role that was sort of outside of my wheelhouse. You got to always put a positive attachment onto it.
Yeah. How close did he push you from actually, have you thought about quitting? Like, I'm sure you thought about it, but did you ever get actually pretty close to doing so?
Sure. Yeah, I did. But I, it was one of those deals, right? I wouldn't give him the satisfaction.
Right. Yeah.
I like,
you know, but kind of the same thing with my acting career. I mean, you know, I'll never forget. When I first came to Hollywood, I think it was Hollywood or was it New York? Anyway, there was an open call for Nina Blanchard's modeling agency, and Nina Blanchard was a huge modeling agent. And, you know, I had these pictures that I had taken professionally, and, you know, they took my photos back to Nina to go look at in another room, and then they brought it back out and they said basically thank you but no thank you. And I was like fuck it, on to the next. Fuck her, I'll show her. You know what I mean?
That's good. That's a mentality to have, because I might leave crying. It's just, that was really rude. You couldn't have just said, I mean, I guess she said no, but fuck.
But Sean, too, the thing, because I did Brazilian jiu-jitsu off and on over a decade. And there's a difference between bullying and what a mentor does to push you. Can
Absolutely.
You kind of speak on what that is? So that
I think mentors are, it's an incredibly important relationship. You know, almost everybody that's really successful has had a mentor. You know, Bill Gates has had Warren Buffett. I mean, you know, was it, you know, Aristotle had Plato. I mean, you know, anybody who's really achieved anything of consequence, you probably can trace it to somebody that was their mentor, because, you know, this is somebody that's walked the path that you want to walk and can kind of show you where the pitfalls and the mines are, and also hopefully introduce you to some people that are going to allow you to circumvent, you know, some of the challenges, but also challenge you so that you learn to do these things for yourself.
So oftentimes that we perceive people, or this person's got it all together and they've got no issues, and we kind of forget that everyone that's walking around with us has internal and external issues and things that are going on all the time. And it really, even though it does have some good humorous moments and drama, but it really has a lot of heart to it in that regard. Because
I love that saying that you never know what private war someone else is fighting.
Yeah.
And it's true. You know, everybody's got their battles that they fight. Sure. And I think that's a reason to try and be, you know, as understanding and compassionate as you can to other people.
Yeah. Everybody's got their own shit going on. Yeah,
everyone's absolutely. Got their own shit.
And with that said, let's talk about the great work you're doing with anti-bullying campaigns, and which is so awesome. Full circle from childhood, you know, all that shit. And now you're just trying to, you know, not only educate those that get bullied, but maybe those that are bullying as well.
Sure. So I'm very involved with an organization called Buddha Bullying. I'm the Young Man's Youth Ambassador. We go to schools and do a presentation, facilitate a dialogue with the kids. You know, we discuss how bullying is really a triangle. You know, there's the person getting bullied, there's the person doing the bullying, and then the kids who are affected by being kind of the, you know, the bystanders. And it's really traumatic for everybody. And it's amazing. You know, when I get up and speak, I start by showing a clip of me from Karate Kid 3 when I'm terrorizing Daniel LaRusso. And I said, would you believe that scary guy used to get bullied? And right, you know, it sort of snaps them into what? And it allows me to bridge the fact that I'm a guy in my 50s talking to a bunch of, you know, teens and preteens, because why would they ever listen to an old guy like me? And it gives me some street cred with them so that I can start to have a dialogue with them. You know, suicide is the fourth leading cause of death among kids, which is tragic. And bullying is an incredibly important factor in that. And now, you know, with the internet, cyberbullying is another pandemic. I mean, I'm not trying to minimize what we're going through, but, you know, with one stroke of a keyboard, you know, kids are getting bullied to everybody in their school 24 hours a day. And it's just, you know, when I was a kid, you got bullied, like, you know, on the way to school, at lunch, and on the way home. And now, you know, kids are getting bullied nonstop.
Yeah.
And it's just so destructive. And so, you know, it's something I'm passionate about. It's something that I really you know, it's work that I think is important and want to continue doing and kind of spread the message. And I just think that, you know, if anyone's watching this, if you're a parent, you know, you may get one shot at your kid or your younger brother or sister coming to you and being able to suck it up and say, hey, listen, I'm getting bullied. And if you're not receptive to it in that moment, they might not try and speak to somebody again. Sure, and so I think there's a responsibility on the side of adults to be vigilant and also to try and facilitate an environment where kids feel safe enough to talk about something that's highly, highly humiliating for them. You know, it's just, I mean, there's nothing worse than, you know, a young boy going to his dad and saying, hey, I'm getting the shit kicked out of me at school. You know what I mean? So like all the cards are stacked against kids feeling comfortable enough to doing it. So when they actually are able to summon up the courage to do it, it's really imperative that the adults are receptive to it and do something about it.
Yeah, and as a word you've been using, compassion, you know, that's one of the things for me, of course, Sean, and you and I had a phone conversation, you know, prior to going through, you know, recovery with my addiction. Is that was one of the things that I had to start to learn, that as a man, I just didn't have to be this masculine like thing, right, which I'm so far from anyways, but I could finally embrace that I have a spectrum of thoughts, feelings, and emotions,
and
they're all valid. They all deserve to be heard, to be understood, to realize, you know, the best way I heard someone is, I think it was this gentleman, Tony Hoffman, we had on, who goes out and speaks to schools as well. He had crazy, crazy addiction history in prison as well. But that, you know, we gotta not only focus on those being bullied, but those that are the bullies, because there's something going on there at home. It kind of goes back to the, there is no bad student, only bad teacher. And like you said, if we shut off that conversation, then when they try to talk to us and they're being failed at home, then they're being failed at school. Those two institutions, there's one other potential institution they could head towards eventually.
Absolutely. For sure. You know, you hit the nail on the head. Like I said, it's a triangle. You know, we really try and speak to not just the kids getting bullied, but the kids that are doing the bullying and the kids that are being affected by, you know, witnessing it and feeling, you know, that they can't do anything, or maybe they're part of the problem, cheering it on. You know, there's a lot, like, again, a lot of different nanoshades of gray in behavior that need to be addressed.
Well, cool. Sean, we like to, before we give you kind of the final word and the positive message, wrap it up with some rapid fire questions. You don't have to be too rapid. You could give them some thought, but, you know, they're all in good fun. So fire away, Mikey.
All right. If you can have dinner with anybody you wanted, dead or alive, who would it be?
Wow. Gosh, you know, look, I'm not even that religious, but I got to go with JC. I mean, you know, I got
that one.
You
know, we've gotten that one.
Yeah.
You and Lamar Odom. Yeah, same answer. Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, I listen, you know, there's a lot of knowledge there. There's a lot of mystery there. As to, you know, hey, you know, tell me about age 0 to 33. I mean, you know, right. I don't know. I think there would be the possibility of some life changing, epiphanous information and spiritual connection that would be really interesting. I mean, I, you know, a close second would be Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha. I mean, I think that'd be really interesting. I mean, as much as like Einstein was fascinating, I don't know that I'd have a whole lot that he'd be interested in hearing, or that I might have totally a whole lot of what he was saying.
Sean's E equals the MC squared. It's just that simple. Do it.
You're like, well, this was fun. Let me get the check.
Check, please. Pass it to Mr. Einstein.
Fire away, Jason.
All right. What are some of your pet peeves, if any?
Oh, okay. I got two, and they're really stupid. I can't stand when you were in an office building and the bathroom requires a key. Okay? Yeah, I hate that. And as a corollary to that, I can't stand when you actually go in the stall and you pull the toilet paper out and it's as if somebody has taken one of those large wrenches and tightened it. So that, you know, it just pulls off little by little. Those are stupid. Those are pet peeves.
Those are stupid and I hate them.
Like, you know, I don't like cruelty. I don't like blah, blah, blah. Of course. So, you know, nobody likes that shit, right?
Yeah.
I don't like waiting in line. I've got an absolute lack of patience, which is something that I work on diligently.
So if the wife says we're going to Disneyland, Sean, you're like, oh, fuck.
Right. All right. And I don't like crowds either. Not that I dislike people, but I don't like crowds. What else? And a pet peeve is really something with myself. I'm not the sharpest spoon in the drawer when it comes to technology. Although my wife is like my in-house IT guy, like she can build computers literally. So like it doesn't affect me that much. But like if I was on my own, I'd be very angry with myself because I'm just not great with technology and things like that.
That's Jason for sure. I don't know shit about computers and all that stuff. I'm like, hey, how do you get this thing on that over there? Like, what do I need to do here? Yeah, so I get what you're saying.
Press the button.
Yeah. Well, all you got to do is here and then this key and then that. I'm like, what? Just fucking do it. I don't know. All right. What is another? Okay. If they were to make a movie about you, Mr. Kanan, who would you cast to play you and why?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Come on, I mean, man. Come on. You got this.
Who would I cast to play me? You know, I'll tell you who I would cast to play me. I would cast a young Robert Downey Jr. Not that he and I really have anything in common, but I just think he is such a phenomenal actor. Let me amend that. I think it would be really funny to watch Nick Cage play me. I don't know why. I would like to see Nicholas give me like an acid trip. You know, I'd like to see Nicholas Cage version of playing me. Yeah, I just think.
I could just see some sort of scene where he's like, you know, playing you, calling your folks. Yeah, I got Karate Kid 3. I'm gonna be a badass.
I would love that.
Oh shit! That's the best answer ever. Oh hell! Do you think if it was Nick Cage, it would have to be a comedy, like in the vein of Raising Arizona or something?
Oh, for sure, like that, or like everything he does has got comedy in it. You know, I mean, like The Rock, and that would be my guy.
Yeah, like I always love the scene with him and Connery. You know, winners go home and fuck the prom queen. He's like, my lady was the prom queen.
And that was played by Vanessa Martell, who I was on General Hospital with.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Nice. All right. Let me see here. I was going to ask who's your biggest inspiration. Well, okay. So you did talk about your sensei being a huge inspiration, a mentor. Do you think he's your biggest inspiration and mentor in life?
No, I have to say probably my father. I mean, both my parents. My parents have both given me a lot of love and very good advice over the years. My uncle Jeffrey, who is a doctor, been very close with him all of my life. Sensei Fumio Demura, who was Pat Morita's stunt double, was somebody else who has been very important in my life. My acting teacher, the late Roy London. I think at different times in my life, different people have had significant importance. Yeah. But you know, it does kind of take a village, at least with this guy, it does.
What would you say your greatest achievement is? What do you think it is?
It's my marriage to my wife. I really think that. I think that,
That's awesome. That's a good one.
I think that getting Michelle to marry me has really helped me become such a different and better guy, a guy that I was not able to be without her. I mean, I think it was always in me, But I just think that it's really allowed me to kind of spread my wings and at least be on the path to being the guy that I've always wanted to be.
Yeah. Did she take some coaxing, Sean? I mean, were you just, no, we really need to do this. I don't know.
To marry me? No, you know, I have to be honest. It was kind of love at first sight. I saw her and she was literally yelling and complaining to a girlfriend of hers about something. And I was like, yep, that's the girl for me. I'm marrying her.
Well, it's, you know, and I hope people really hung on what you said about, you know, marrying her and what it's made for you. I read that saying the other day, and I'm going to probably fuck it up, but you know you're truly in a good place in a relationship when it makes you love yourself more.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think I nailed it.
I got another one I like. The right one will make you, the wrong one will break you. And
fucking A. And we both, yeah, we know what you're talking about, buddy. Let me tell you, we just looked at each other at the same time, like, yep.
Nailed that shit, you dude. Mike, you got any more? Another one there?
All right. What is something some people would be surprised to learn about you? What is somebody people don't know about you? Okay, I'm totally butchering that. What is something about you that people would be surprised to learn? There we go.
Well, on the stupid side, that I talk to myself constantly, which is just bizarre. And I don't know why I do it, but
car.
I do.
I do too.
I talk to myself all the time. I'm a real dog lover, love dogs. I am very fascinated with foreign languages. I study Italian and I study Mandarin. It's something that I always, at some point or another, am studying some language. So maybe that's something that they would not know about me. And I love to cook.
Oh, nice. Damn it. We should have got him up here. And just, hey, you know. Hey. Sean, what do you want to cook tonight, huh?
Yeah.
Well, in wrapping up, Sean, this has been a total blast and a pleasure. But yeah, sure. What kind of, you know, words of inspiration can kind of lend to people? Of course, a lot, all of us, you know, as of this recording, you know, the COVID's still in effect, you know, the holiday seasons we've gone through, that you can just kind of lend to people that from your life experience.
I think the first thing, which is going to sound cliche, but it's true, is that it can't rain all the time. This too shall pass. And as we're coming into the holidays, I think the holidays really tend to amplify everything, both positive and negative. And unfortunately, a lot of people are not going to be able to spend time with the people they love. And that's really difficult. And I would just say, you know, the best way that I know to get out of yourself is to try and reach out and make someone else feel good, connect with them. I also think that it's really important that, you know, we don't just survive, but we thrive. You know, take this time when you know you're home and you know, God forbid you're not one of the people that, you know, can't work, or if you are, find something that you can do that is going to bring value to your life and someone else's. You know, for me, I've taken this time to really work on my book, and to prep getting Studio City done. That's been kind of the stuff that I've done to thrive. And then I'd say on a bigger note, and it's one of the things I talk about in my book, is that, you know, you need to really figure out what your success is. You know, not success as defined by Madison Avenue commercials and some, you know, the conspicuous consumption of some celebrity's Instagram feed, but figure out what your internal barometer says success means to you. Because ultimately, you're only competing against yourself. And you know, if you don't have an idea of what success means to you, it's like getting in a car and not knowing the destination. So I guess clarity, deciding what it is that you want to do, and just try to take this time to, you know, shift into gear and make it happen.
The Knockin' Doors Down book shares all the history and inspiration behind the Carlos Vieira Foundation and how it all started. All proceeds from the book benefit the Carlos Vieira Foundation's Race to Be Drug-Free campaign. So what's that all about? Through the Race to Be Drug-Free campaign, Carlos Vieira Foundation raises awareness about drug abuse, donates to drug-free programs, and brings drug-free speakers into schools to educate youth. The Race to Be Drug-Free campaign's main program is the Gloves Not Drugs boxing program. This program is completely free for kids between the ages of 8 and 17 to learn discipline, strength, respect, camaraderie, and the art of boxing. The program was created to keep kids off the streets, out of gangs, and away from drugs. For more info and to get involved, check out CarlosVieiraFoundation.org.
We should all be nice to one another.
Agreed.
That's what makes, you know, I think if there was more of that going on in the world, it'll be a better place, you know?
No, that's been a shitstorm, especially the last 2 years, right?
I think hopefully with everything that happened, I think people are more nicer now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the, you know.
I don't know.
Epidemic. No? Or you're right. Or
depends on who you're living with.
Have gotten a little more bitter because of it. But I think, you know, it opened up a lot of people's, you know, eyes of how to be in the world.
Sure. Well, I know for me, like, and especially with what we're doing, seeing not only the large amount of relapse, you know, because we do focus in that addiction area. And I know for me, there was times that it was like, a lot of anxiety and everything else, but with mental health and everything.
I know, that's sad, I know. I mean, because I took my daughter for a physical 2 days ago, and she had to fill out questions about depression.
Right.
And she's 12. And, you know, she was, you know, they all had to do that this year. And I know a lot of that has gone on. It's sad but thank God, knock on wood, I mean, my kids were good.
Yeah.
They kind of liked being home. they liked doing school from home.
It was cool being home, like when we were, because I took a week off of work when this whole thing started, because it was supposed to last 2 weeks.
Here we are
2 years later. But it was cool being off, but it was weird because you felt like the apocalypse was going on outside. It was something that you can't see coming at you. So I thought that was the scariest part.
No, it's you're like, right. It was
I'll fight something that I can see, but if I can't see it, that's terrifying.
Because I was doing a lot of appearances.
Sure, yeah.
So I was on the road a lot, like today, like flying here, and then I'm flying to California right after this. It's like I'm used to that.
Right.
And then everything stopped and it was a standstill. I was like, all right, so I guess I'm taking a little break. So it was, you know, I was fine with it. Because I was on the go so much.
Right.
But yeah. I know, so I guess with some people, it affects differently. You know?
Well, you have five, right?
Four daughters.
Four, and I'm a parent of two. How did you kind of handle it with them? You said they like to be home.
Yeah, I mean, because they had a choice, either to go to school or stay home, and they decided to stay home. They wanted to stay home, so I was like, okay. And tell you, because you know why? If they went to school anyway, there was not a lot of students there anyway.
Sure. Were you kind of like, damn it. They wanted to stay home.
To tell you the truth, there was not much going on anyway.
Right, sure.
So, and they were in their rooms doing their thing, and so it was fine. I mean, and I was doing, like, if anything, Zoom stuff too.
Right.
So it was great that they were around because they're, you know, they're good with the computer, and I'm so not. So, so they would help me with that.
I'm great with computers, right?
he is the shittiest. Like, I do all the tech stuff.
Well,
I'm
not good like that.
I did the tech stuff for like 10 minutes, and I had a migraine for the rest of the day. I'm just like, I don't, you do it.
I'm like, I have a Zoom call. Can you get me on?
Make this clickable. Jason, you figure it out.
Dating as a single parent is tough, and I have to ask you, of course, my situation a little different in recovery, and really trusting myself. But how with, you know, going through it, the stuff you did with the divorce, you know, post, you know, the prison sentence and everything else, how did you kind of do that healing in that point where it's like, you know, I think I'm ready to date.
Yeah, that's
a good
question.
I'm ready to let love in because it's hard going through that to trust again.
Yeah, I know. Like, I mean, I am a very strong person. I could have turned to alcohol or anything else like that. I mean, I always tell my daughters that because I want to be a good role model to them.
Sure.
You know, because listen, at times it was depressing, everything. There was a lot that happened to me. You know, it's like getting on TV and I didn't really get to enjoy it.
Right.
Like I just said, the only time I enjoyed being on TV was this ultimate girls trip that we went to Turks and Caicos. Because it wasn't like, it wasn't these women trying to attack me.
Sure.
Like on my show was a lot of that. Like when you're on top, and I wasn't even trying to be on top. Like, I did that whole scene with flipping the table, yeah, or whatever. I mean, that just really was genuine. Like, I got pissed off, and I have that fiery Italian temper. I'm very passionate, and that's it. But really, normally, I'm like very easy.
I didn't like the table there anyways. You did it.
I'm really
favor,
easy
right?
to get along yeah, right? with, which yeah. I hope you guys can feel my vibe. Like, yeah, I'm so easy. Yeah. I'm very easy going. I don't try to be a diva. I don't try to be anybody. I'm not. But if someone comes after me, of course I stand up for myself and I have no problem doing that.
Sure.
So, but on my show, it was like a lot of everyone coming after me and trying to yeah. attack me and Joe, whatever. And I didn't know, I really didn't about anything. You know, I know there was a lot of people that wanted to take us down. More say him, I guess. And I guess because sure. we were married, it just happened to me too.
Yeah.
Which, you know what, at first, I was just like, really, this is really happening? So, and it did, and I accepted it like a champ. I did what I had to do. I'm like, really, God? I'm like, I never went to college, and like, this is the kind of college you want to send me to? Okay, fine, you know, like, meaning like, when I went away to jail.
Yeah,
that's
a hell of a
lesson.
I felt
like I was living with, you know, like I felt like I was in college, but a different kind of college. That's
with
what
like
I kept saying. Right? Yeah,
dress code.
Right.
Yeah,
I had to share, and really, because I went when I my daughter went to Rutgers, and she showed me her dorm, and then she had to share bathrooms. Like I'm like, this is what I had to do when I went away. I'm like, this is so crazy, and that's what I felt like. I'm like, I'm in college, but not the kind of college I wanted to be at.
Sure.
Like with just all women and everybody going down on each other, and not everybody, but some
right.
people.
Sure,
and
yeah.
I'm like, this is crazy.
Well, let me ask
like
you this.
Like my first night, two women were going at it. I was just like, wow. I just put the covers over my head and I went to bed. Like, cause there were six of us in the room.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so crazy. This is like, I'm watching a porn, but really, I don't really want to watch this porn because I'm in the room with them. It's like, yeah, it was crazy.
Were you worried going in with being who you were, like that people were going to like target you just because of your celebrity? Well, not you, because you seem tough as nails.
Yeah, no.
I'd be tripping.
You'll just flip
like,
a Funko.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
like,
no, I don't try.
People knew
I'm
not to mess with you.
Yeah, everyone was really cool. That nobody messed with me at all. If anything, I mean, listen, I had some girls that were looking at me like the wrong way. I was like, yeah, and I'm not trying to be tough, but I'm not, you know, listen, I didn't walk in like trying to own the place
sure,
or anything.
Sure.
And I was nice to everyone. I mean, it was kind of crazy. Like there was when I would walk outside on the track, there was helicopters flying over because they were getting tipped off when I was walking outside. They would put the place on lockdown because that was happening. And then, you know, people would get mad at me.
Yeah,
and I'm like, it's not my fault. I'm like, what do you want me to do? It's like, I'm not, you know, I don't want this. I don't want people flying all over the track while I'm here either.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, some people get mad because of that. And, you know, certain things. But that's why I'm like, it's somebody that's a rat in here that's telling them what time I'm going to walk outside, and that this is why this is happening.
Did the inmates have phone access, or you're pretty sure it was guards?
Well, yeah, of course. They would get phones brought in. Because
you get paid
if you
to
get,
tip them
if
off,
you get
right?
caught with a phone, a cell phone, you would get put in the hole.
Yeah.
Like, I never... Because of who I was, I could not break any rules because then, of course, someone would rat on me.
Oh, yeah.
And I had no problem doing that. I followed all the rules. And, like, if you get caught with cigarettes, anything, like liquor, anything you wanted, you could get in there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If you wanted it, you ask someone, you get it. Like, the only thing I asked for was makeup. Yeah, and even if you get caught with certain makeup that they know it's brought in from the outside, you could still get in trouble for that.
So is it like where I've heard where you'll go and say work kitchen duty or whatever and you earn a little bit of money, then there's like almost like the little store kind of and they kept it, or is it you could get certain gifted stuff to you?
Like the Morgan Freeman on Shawshank?
No, like you get money stuff. Put in your commissary every week, which was, I got, you know, the most you could get put in was $300. And of course I would spend my $300 every week. Like Joe was like, my ex was like, really? Like you spend all this money every week? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I want everything I want. Yes. And I was like really into like get fitness.
Sure.
And I was like working out every day. And that's where I discovered yoga. Mm. And I meditated every day. I mean, I have to say, the view where I was so beautiful. I was in Connecticut. And like, I have to say, I'm like, thanks, God. I'm glad you put me at a beautiful place. Like going outside, it's just the view was breathtaking, and I was there for four seasons.
Sure.
So I saw all the change, and so I just meditated every day outside. And then when I came out, I loved yoga so much, and then that's when I got certified for it.
Right on.
And
so like, there was some really solid life transforming lessons
was.
For you.
There was, and it's like it was a great, you know, listen, I don't regret anything. It was part of my journey. That's what I tell my kids. I mean, my girls are, they're amazing. Like, they became who they are.
Yeah.
You know, they're really strong because, you know, seeing what I went through.
Yeah.
And I mean, listen, I have two of my daughters that do see therapists, and I'm not embarrassed of it.
No.
You know, listen, they went through something really traumatic at a young age. I mean, I went away, then Joe went away, then their grandfather passed away, then their other grandmother mm-hmm. passed away, and then my dad passed away.
Yeah.
And they were all really close to their grandparents, and they had a tremendous loss in a short period of time.
Yeah.
So it's a lot to deal with.
Sure. That is a lot for anyone. And I know with my kids, because I have a son on the autism spectrum, so sometimes having to deal with those things.
Oh, so is my boyfriend.
Yeah, so encouraging, you know, that open dialogue. You know, we were kind of talking here pretty early on, that, you know, about mental health, and it's such a huge part of it that hopefully, in like our mission here around addiction and mental health, ending that stigma that it's okay to say I struggle with this. It's okay that you have mm-hmm. depression, anxiety, and addiction. It's okay to seek and get help, and there's nothing wrong with it. It makes you stronger.
No.
It's not a sign of weakness.
Oh, not at all. And if you, listen, I tell my daughters, I'm like, I'll do whatever you guys want. You know, because I want to, listen, they've been through a lot, you know, and like losing, you know, their dad, like, never came home again.
Right.
Like, I came home. He never came home.
Right.
So, you know, like my one daughter Melania, they were all really close to him.
Sure.
But my one daughter Melania, she was like, I remember like that day she didn't go to school when he left, and like they showed her on TV, like looking out the window as we're getting into the car.
Right.
You know, and but like I try to give them as much love as I can, and you know they see that.
Yeah.
And then Louis came into my life, and he's so amazing. He really is, and he's so good to my girls, and that's what I. And they're so like grateful too, and
sure.
You know, and I'm glad. Like, and I'm glad. Like, I'm grateful too that I ended up meeting someone. Like, I'm gonna cry. That like, I'm glad it was just one person. And it's like,
because
I didn't want to bring like all like I wouldn't do that anyway. I wouldn't bring like a lot of you know, men around my daughters, because I have daughters. I have four daughters. So I'm grateful that I got, you know, I met him, and he was so amazing, and it just really worked out.
Well, Teresa, we like to have the guests give us kind of some final words through their experience and with life of encouragement to the listeners and viewers. But before that, we got some fun random questions for you here.
I have a question. It might be controversial, so, you know, just be careful. It's a very big question.
Okay.
Would you rather fight one horse-sized chicken or 10 chicken-sized horses?
Oh my God.
There is a right or wrong answer here, Teresa. The world is watching right now.
All right.
Which one is it?
Wait, say it again.
One horse-sized chicken. Or 10 chicken-sized horses. Those are some strong chicken-sized horses.
So one horse-sized chicken. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Or what?
Or 10 chicken-sized horses.
Chicken.
So picture 10 chickens, but they're horses.
Oh, but they're little.
But they're horses.
Or one big
horses
one.
Are still strong.
Yeah, yeah, but they're all right. So 10 or one big one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one big one.
Really?
Yeah.
Think
you
about
because then it's one on one.
But one peck of a chicken the size of a horse?
Well, maybe then there's 10 of them. You don't know where they're pecking.
Here's
and
my
I'll be
thought.
Like, you're trying to push them.
I help you take care of it, and then you cook up some my favorite Italian dish, some chicken parm. What do you think?
Yes.
He's a vegetarian, so he doesn't get a joint.
I'll do eggplant.
Oh yeah.
But that was a two-part question. And also, what does it take to get me on The Housewives? I'm not a housewife, obviously, but
well,
like, we could fit me in somewhere.
I mean, I don't know if they would fly out to Fresno to do a podcast.
No, I'll go there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
let's
we can
go
do
there.
Then
sure.
You come to Jersey and we'll do a podcast.
I'll be like the busboy or something when you guys are all out dinner or something.
Okay.
When
no,
you guys are at dinner, I'll just like refill your water.
We can do a podcast in Jersey though. So
there you go.
Rent a studio and we'll do it in Jersey.
I haven't been there forever.
Or New York.
Yeah, I haven't been in there forever. Favorite curse word.
Favorite curse word. I don't know. I don't. Fuck. Wait, you have
it has
fuck.
To be. It's a noun. It's a verb. It's an adjective.
No,
it's an adverb.
No, it's bitch better.
Oh, bitch.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
I
bitch
can see
better.
That.
No.
Being you don't put up with shit, I can just see like bitch don't start.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, no, remember on the show? I don't know if you watched it. Like she said, I called her honey. She's like, don't call me honey. And I said, oh, is bitch better? And it just came out. Like that's.
I'm going to use that.
I was
too,
like, trying to be nice. And then she's like, don't call me honey. I'm like, oh, is bitch better? Like,
I was like, so bitch then. We'll go with bitch. That's a terrible. That's the winner.
I'd say bitch.
Want to do the final word?
One more fun one. It's a good one. Okay. If you were on a deserted island, oddly there's power and a movie and or music listening device, one movie and one album, music album you would take with you.
One music and one album.
One music album, one movie.
Okay, one music album, Versace on the Floor by Bruno Mars. Mm.
Nice.
Oh no! I mean, I like that song, but you know what I love? Sade.
Oh, really? Yeah, We're going back a little bit.
Yes, yeah. I like Sade, like Ed Versace. I like both of them, so I have to be as strong.
Do you have a favorite movie? A movie that, if you were on that island, you would love to
have something that I would watch over and over again.
On an island, you gotta love.
I mean, I have to say, The Godfather.
Yeah. How do you not like Coppola?
Because like, on, I like I like The Godfather because it's. Like who I represent, it's about loyalty and respect, and I'm all about
that.
Such
an Italian answer, I love
it. No, and I'm just saying, I'm all about that.
Yeah,
you know?
For
and
sure.
I love that. Well, if there's, obviously we'll have some a good amount of your fans tuning in, but people that are maybe struggling with mental health and how you've come through your adverse situations, or it might even correlate to someone with addiction.
I know. There's another thing I want to say,
please,
about mental health. Like, you know, my daughters are going through stuff, and I was just like. I mean, I know I'm I guess it's the way God created me and, you know, how I am and the way my parents made me who I am. I am a very, very strong person. Like, I don't know, I just am. I don't know, it's just the way I am. So I tell my daughters, like, and Melania is like, you know, like when she struggles through things, I'm like, I don't get it. Like, why? Like, just be, like, I try to do everything. They tell me to jump, I say how high. Because, like, you know, I'm a single parent. And I was like, I always want to make them happy because of everything that happened. I always feel guilty. So I'm like, well, Melania, what's the matter? Like, I do everything for you. Like, what's the problem? And then when I talked to the therapist that she was going to, she's like, no, you have to acknowledge their feelings. Yeah. Like, you have to say, okay, I understand you feel this way. Because I had to learn how to talk like that. Because I'm like, you know, I grew up, like, just, like, stop. Like, you know, my father would look at me and I was scared. Like, I'd literally even pee in my pants. Like,
we were talking about that father look before you got here.
Yeah. My dad has the same look.
So I was like, now it's like, you know, the kids are, it's different nowadays, you know? So I would be like, so now it's like, that's what I learned from our therapist. Like, you have to say, like, if someone's not, you know, if they're sad and they're depressed or anything or whatever they're feeling, you have to acknowledge their feelings. So make sure, like, if you have, someone's going through that, make sure you acknowledge their feelings and you know, hear them and then help them, you know, work it out. Like right now I'm gonna get, you know, my daughters have seen therapists, but I'm working on them getting life coaches. So I'm all about that. At first I used to not be about that. If you watch the show, I used to be like not into therapy because of who I am, a strong person. But look, I have four daughters. They're all different.
Yep.
And I want to do the right thing by them. So, and if that, you know, I want, you know, if they need help, of course I want to get it, you know, get it for them.
Absolutely.
So, I'm all about that now. Always doing the right thing. Listen, I'm still learning. We learn every day. It's like, you know, we don't grow, we're not perfect. None of us are perfect.
Right.
You know, so I'm still learning, you know, even though I'm
29
I'm a kid.
Yeah. 29 with a few anniversaries. Yeah.
How old do I look? If you didn't know, how old?
I was going to say like 24, 25. Thank you.
No, that's a little too young. I mean, no.
Early 30s.
I like that.
Early
30s.
Good answer. See that? Yeah. Hey, huh? I would do better with women on the East Coast.
How old are you, Mikey?
I am 33.
That's good.
Single dad of a dog. Her name's Lola. Shout out to Lola.
Oh, how cute.
I'm just kidding.
You have a lot of tattoos.
I do. Yeah, I got a couple. Little addiction.
Doesn't he look like the one, he should have been in prison, right?
Yeah, I know. Carrie, I was telling you guys that. Gonna say that.
Are you good with that?
I'm fine with that. Listen, I'm so cool. Yeah.
I love it.
Both I know. Sport. Like, my dad never liked tattoos. Like,
my dad still hates them.
My dad said, if you get a tattoo, I cut your head off. Like, that's what he told me and my brother.
He makes me eat outside for Sunday
dinner. Yeah, so, I mean, Okay, we have to go. Yeah. So then, anyway. But so you know, I got this for him. I know. You know, it is what it is.
Your heart was in the right place when you got it. It wasn't like you were acting out or trying to be rebellious. Yeah, you got it for him, so I'm sure he gets that.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Teresa, this has been really cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank
this was awesome. You guys were awesome. You were as well.
Thanks for being on. Yeah. It's awesome.
5150 is a lifestyle. We believe in pushing yourself, finding your passion, knowing your dreams and working hard, and always striving to make those dreams your reality. We believe life is too short to sit back and say, what if? Go after it, grab it, and make it happen. Being 5150 is committing to that long, hard road. That road you know is going to be tough, but the most rewarding. That's living the madness. That's 5150. If you're living the 5150 lifestyle, then celebrate by rocking the goods. So listen up, there's a special deal for listeners of Knocking Doors Down. Go to 5150LTM.com and enter code KDD20 and receive 20% off your purchase. That's 5150LTM.com.
Wanting a relationship is something that I've always wanted. And before getting sober, I've only been in a few relationships. And the longest one was about a year and a half. And she was also sick. So it was like, it was very toxic.
Yeah.
You know, and who knew if that was like real feelings or not? You know, there's a lot of heroin involved. So it's like, who knew what that was?
Right.
And then when I got sober, I started dating like a bunch of chicks here and there, nothing really serious. And then, and then, like, I met one girl, and, like, she broke my heart. I thought I was in love, mm-hmm. but now knowing that I wasn't. And then the only girl that really f***ed me up was this chick down in Texas. And she was really young. She was 20, and, like, she just didn't know what she wanted. And, like, again, it looked good on paper. And,
yeah.
But she really f***ed me up. But I still really wanted that relationship, so sure. I'm always searching for it. And then somehow I met this amazing girl. And she's so smart. She's from Tunisia, North Africa. She's only been in the States for 6 years. And she's older than me. She's like 38. And she has her shit together. And she's so smart. She speaks 7 different languages, like fluently. And so I'm like, why is this girl even attracted to me? She's so smart. You know what I mean? Like, it makes no sense. And then like my PTSD from past relationships starts like coming in the picture. I'm like, all right, this is too good to be true. Something's going to up.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so I'm like, I'm like waiting for that to happen.
Or just like searching for like a flaw. And like, why you're single.
Exactly.
She's got a bunion. That's it. I'm
Exactly. And then like, but she has 2 kids too, right? So it's like, okay, I'm coming into a relationship where she has 2 kids, 7 and 9. Mm-hmm. And am I like, I asked my sponsor, I asked all my other peers in recovery. I'm like, do you think this is a good idea? Like, doing what I do, I travel a lot, you know, do you think it's a good idea to be with somebody that has kids? And somebody said something that made a lot of sense to me. They're like, well, mothers put their children before anything, right? Mm-hmm. So that means you would have to put them before anything. If you really like this girl, you have to put them before anything,
sure.
You know, which made a lot of sense to me. So then I like really started to think about it. I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe this is what I've been wanting, you know, that little family environment thing, you know. And so I took a shot at it, and it's been going really well. And
that's cool.
There hasn't really been any trust issues as far as like anything bad like that. She smokes a lot of weed, she smokes a lot of hash. But that really,
does that bother you? Like, because you were mentioning earlier resentment towards not being able to take a hit, like
so
we're all honest here, bro.
Yeah, so okay. So 90% of the time it doesn't bother me.
Okay. What about the 10%? In what situations does it?
So 10%, it's like when I was hurt for a week.
Okay.
And I wanted to sleep good.
Sure.
And she's like, dude, she literally smokes joint after joint after joint. Like, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I thought I was a pothead. You know? And I'm just like looking at her, and she's so relaxed, and I'm just like, I'm in pain, can't move, and like I can't sleep, and I'm like getting pissed,
right,
that I can't do that, mm-hmm. you know. And she's not very educated as far as like recovery and sobriety, sure. and stuff like that. So I'm trying to explain to her like, I can't do this because there's a possibility that it might lead to other things. It might not, who knows, you know, but I don't want to take that risk.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to like, because she's just like, just take a hit, you'll be fine, you'll sleep good. And I'm just like, I can't.
Yeah.
She doesn't know about the program. She doesn't know about all that kind of thing, you know. I don't want to say ignorant, just not educated.
Sure. Well, ignorance is a good word.
Yeah.
People think that it's such a harsh thing to say, and it's not. Yeah. It's like, you know,
we made it that way.
We did.
Yeah.
Because like, if I don't know shit from Shinola about certain things, it's just the way it is.
Yeah. But we've been together for a few months now, and it's going really well. It was like a, like I was saying, I've always wanted this, and now that I finally have it, I was like, oh shit. This is kind of scary, but scary in a good way.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like fear, because sometimes fear pushes me more to do something.
It's a necessary emotion.
Totally.
And I think people shy away from that reality too often.
Yeah. I think a lot of growth comes from pushing through fear.
Yeah.
And that comes down to everything in my life, as far as like either making content or doing a stunt or public speaking or anything that I'm like very uncomfortable doing, pushing through that fear, like so much growth comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, what is her perspective on what you do for a living? She's like, that's cool as shit. Whatever, pal.
The way that we met was Facebook dating.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Facebook
dating.
That's like a.
That's its
kind of dating app.
Yeah.
Like really?
If you have a Facebook account, you can create like a dating
thing. No shit. Everything's a dating app.
Yeah.
Bro.
It's the new age, man.
Well, I don't have Facebook, so I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's how we met. And usually I'm the one to DM, because when I'm on these dating things like Tinder or Bumble, I'm on there for one purpose. Those kind of things, I'm just looking to have fun.
Yeah.
That's it. And usually I'm the one that DM, and I DM exactly what I want right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't have time to bullshit around and fucking small talk. Like I want one thing and that's it. She DMs me first, and she's just said some corny shit. She was just like, those eyes are the eyes that I'd want to wake up to every morning. And I was just like, oh shit, okay. You know, like, I was like, okay, dope. And then we started talking a little bit, and then me and Zach had to go film something. I was like, yeah, I'll call you tomorrow, we gotta go film. And she's like, film? What do you mean film? I was like, oh, me and my buddies, like, we make stupid content. And then she Googles me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hear from her for probably a month and a half. She totally ghosted me. And then I'm like texting her, I'm like, what's up? And like, I found out she had COVID, so I'm just like making sure that she's okay, but I'm like, no response. So I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I'm not chasing this chick. Like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just gonna go somewhere else. And then finally she calls me back after like a month and a half, and she's like, hey, sorry I ghosted you. I found out who you and your friends were, and like, I just figured that you guys have all these girls around you all the time. And I'm just like, I'm surrounded by homoerotic guys 99% of my day. Like,
do you see my like buddy that. Drink something out of my other buddy's ass
exactly,
crack?
Exactly. And then like, and she like laughed at that. And then, I was like, all right, we started talking for a while, and I was like, all right, I'm going to ask this chick out, but I want to do it in a way that where like, she can't say no.
Mm-hmm.
So I Googled how to say something in French, because she speaks fluent French. So I said that to her in French, and she was just like mind blown. And we went on a first date, and then like,
was she pissed you couldn't speak French in person?
No, no. Dude, it's crazy. She speaks French, Arabic, German, Italian, Tunisian, English, but she understands 20 other languages.
Wow.
It's bananas.
Yeah, but speaks fluent in 7 of them. It's insane.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that Liquid Death video that I made with Zach, me drinking water out of his asshole. It's just like, she sees something like that, and she's just like she wasn't there when I was filming it, thank God, but like when she see like I think I was next to her when she finally saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like look over to her, and she's just shaking her head. And I'm just like, God damn it.
Did she still kiss you after that?
Yeah.
Liquid Death, if you'd like to come back on as a sponsor.
Because I showed her this new, we're starting to do more skits. Less stunty stuff, more skits with a little bit more acting. And we did something a couple weeks ago, and it was finally done yesterday. And I'm like showing it to her, and she's not laughing or anything. And I'm just like, is it not funny? Like, I think it's hilarious. Am I just dumb? Like, and I'm just like, babe, did you like it? She goes, no, it's really funny. But then I look up, and you're right next to me. I got puked on by Zach in the skit.
Uh-huh.
So she's like, yeah, no, it was funny. But then I look up, and you're sitting right next to me. So I'm like, okay, you are my boyfriend now, and you're getting puked on by Zach, which is disgusting. So like, she looks at it in a different way.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, even if she didn't think you're funny, that's fine. Cause Will Ferrell's wife doesn't think he's funny.
That's right.
So kind of like, if your significant other doesn't think you're funny, maybe you're on the right track.
Yeah.
He's a funny motherfucker.
Right? It's, I'm such an attention whore, attention seeker, that like I need you to tell me that I'm funny, or I need you to tell me that my content is good.
Right.
You know, I'm fucked up like that, dude.
It's that weird validation. Yeah. I know what you mean though. Yeah. Like I'm the most like insecure. It's great to have Mikey like, nah, man, it's a good episode.
Yeah.
Did a good job. Are you sure, buddy? Yeah. You know,
I used to, before I started making my own content, I was like Zach's filmer, the Too Stupid to Die filmer. Mm-hmm. And then like when I started making my own content, I made it just, I wanted just the bros to like it. I didn't care about anybody else. I just wanted the validation from the bros, right? So I would DM a video to Kyler or Chadwick and I'd be like, yo, is it good? And like once they told me it was good, I'd be like, all right, sick, maybe I'm onto something here. You know, and then I started making my own content. And I'm such a narcissist that I'll watch my own content over and over and over again, whether it's to like learn from it, maybe I'm doing something wrong or camera angles or anything like that, but literally I think it's just because I like watching my own stuff.
He and I are so different because he like I listen back to every episode or watch it, he's like, yeah, no,
I hate hearing myself.
Me too.
When I first did this podcast ever, I apologize to like everybody who's ever met me. I'm like, I'm sorry you had to hear me talk. I didn't know I sounded like this. Goodness.
Well, and we hear ourselves differently, you know. It's like, it's not how people hear us, and everyone hears differently, you know.
I had this music phase back in like my late teens where I wanted to make music. I wanted to be a rapper. And so I like started making music, and then when I heard the sound of my voice on a song, I was just like, I'm never doing this again.
Hey, you know what? At least you noticed that, because there's a lot of people who I know that, you know, are trying to become rapper, and you know, good for them. But I'll never forget what T.I. said. T.I. was like, you know, a lot of people say chase your dreams, you know, strive for greatness, all that, never quit. Some people just need to know when to stop. And when he said that, I was like, that's so true. Yeah. And I can think of a couple people in my head that need to take that advice. But you know, more power to them, man.
Yeah.
If that's your goal, then go for it.
I think everybody my age at that time wanted to be a rapper.
Of course.
I think even still, like, it's like,
dude, when 8 Mile came out, we all thought we were rappers. So freestyling against each other. We're just like, yeah, well, you're stupid and your mom sucks.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do I rhyme that?
The last time I went back to Connecticut, one of the bros who I was making music with, he like whips out the only CD that we had. Mm. And like I'm listening to it, and I'm like 16, 17 at the time. Mm. And like we're saying words that should not be said, and I'm just like, oh my god, I need this, like this can never be, this can't be put out anywhere. So I'm like, dude, give this to me. He goes, no, I'm not giving it to you. I was like, I'll give you $100 for it right now. He's like, all right, fine. So I have it in my car right now, and nobody will ever have access to it.
That must be destroyed, right?
Yeah.
Oh shit, howdy. Random questions, Mikey, you want to fire off first?
Would you rather fight one horse-sized chicken or 10 chicken-sized horses?
One horse-sized chicken or 10 chicken-sized horses?
Yep.
Oh, man.
I know.
Where the f*** do you come up with this thing?
Again, the internet. I've gotten a lot of different answers. So,
really?
Yeah, you would think it would be one, but I've gotten a lot of different ones.
We just spoke with Chuck Liddell. He said he'd fight them all.
Andy Royce said the same thing. He goes, I want to fight all of them.
That's a good impression. I would probably say 10 chicken-sized horses.
You would think, yeah, but we had another guest have a good way of looking at it. She goes, ants, tarantulas are killed by ants because there's just an army of them.
Mm.
But if you get on the ground and you have 10 chicken-sized horses,
you're
but them if hoofs. You have a
kicking you in
horse-sized chicken peck you, you're so you got to pick one.
That's a rough one.
And not to mention chickens, I've said this before too, but it is scary. Chickens can live without their heads.
That's true, huh?
So if you cut off the son of a bitch's head, he's still running around. I don't know, man. You would think you could punt the little bastards.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Did Vinny give us an answer?
The 10 chicken-sized horses, okay.
This is always a fun one. Stranded on an island, somehow you have a way to play music and a way to watch a movie. Mm-hmm. One movie, one music album that you would have with you on a stranded on an island.
What's a movie that I could watch? Fear and Loathing, maybe. I've seen that movie hundreds of times and it's never old.
Yeah.
Wolf of Wall Street's good too. I could watch that over and over and over.
That would kill a lot of time on the
yeah, hour. Yeah. It's yeah. Like a as far as music goes, man, lately, I don't know, dude. I've been like MCR, dude. I've been rocking to a lot of MCR lately. My Chemical Romance. I don't know what it is, dude. I've just been like jamming that shit hard.
We're just feeling an emo phase.
Yeah, and yeah, hey, dude. It's all good. Whenever I want to get in my feelings, I throw that on.
Right.
Yeah.
I just want to feel my feelings.
Yeah.
If you could travel anywhere in time, in the past or in the present or in the future,
yeah.
Or no, you got to travel. Yeah. Where would you go?
I'd probably go in the past, probably to the 60s.
To the 60s?
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool in the 70s. But the bring 70s a skateboard, be... bring a 2020 yeah. skateboard, yeah. 2021, to the 70s.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Dude, that'd be
yeah,
gnarly. That'd Everybody'd be like, who the
fuck? Yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
is it? What's kickflip? What's that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's like... You in the be future, on those magazines. Someone yeah. be pro.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Someone's gonna do a 900 revolution.
Yeah.
What? I swear. Wait.
He's a fucking demon.
Yeah. We can't fuck it up too bad because we might fuck up Tony Hawk's
the future.
Presence.
Yeah. Because yeah.
you got to be careful in the past. Like if you know step on a bee, Ashton Kutcher was never born or yeah. something. You know right. what I mean? So it's just like
you got that. Doc can't Brown.
Tony Vinny, Hawk. You're gonna mess up the timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't. Up Tony
can't do that. He's I look up to that dude so much and he still hasn't followed me yet and I know he knows who I am and I'm just he follows all the other bros except for me and it makes me so fucking mad.
He follows me.
No, yeah, he doesn't follow me, dude.
Hey, dude, we're in the same boat. It's
Tony,
like
Tony, follow us.
Come yeah. on, come, yeah, come on.
If
Mr.
you're
Hawk.
Watching, and okay. we know you are,
and we know you are,
follow us, Tony.
Yeah.
Come talk with us.
Yeah,
no, because that's a lot of people too. It's like God, that person would just be dope if like. If they understood what we do
yeah.
and why we do it, they would want to talk to us.
Yeah.
But it's like, all right, they're busy living life and doing shit.
That, I always joke around. I'm like, when the day when Tony Hawk follows me is the day that I've made it. <That's>, I'm sticking to that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you're working on all this stuff. Is what one person that you haven't worked with yet that you would like to?
Tony Hawk.
Yeah,
Tony Hawk.
Sure. Yeah, Tony Hawk. That's pretty much it, really. Yeah. Tony Hawk's on the top for me.
Yeah.
And I know it's coming.
Yeah.
I know it. Like I have a feeling it's coming. Whether it's like working directly with him or working on a project with him, I know it.
Yeah.
It's coming, yeah.
Oh, we're celebrating that one for yeah. we're gonna yeah. you're gonna get a text message with 9 million yeah. of those.
I was like I'm sponsored by this company called it's like a skate company called Bad Grease and Jason Ellis is on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, nice. And the owner of Bad Grease is like, hey, we want you and Ellis to do some sort of like Bad Grease promo together. And Ellis has been skating with Tony at the Bird's Nest a lot recently.
Mm-hmm.
And he just started a new podcast with Tony. So I'm like starting to like think, how can I like make this right. happen? So I like came up with this idea of me on fire on the half pipe. And like Jason like comes and like hand plants my head while I'm on fire. Like I'm like laying down, like my head's over the coping, and he like hand plants my head while I'm on fire, and I was like, but I want to do it at the Bird's Nest, and they won't pitch it, to Jason, because Jason doesn't want to ruin the friendship with him and Tony.
Well, and Tony be like, dude, don't fucking light my ramp
yeah,
on fire.
Yeah.
Well, now, is it something like would you ask him to follow you, or he has to organically follow you?
Okay,
so that's
yeah.
Hey, Tony, will you follow me? Sure, that's not a major.
That doesn't
situation.
Work. No, okay. No.
We promise
way.
If you get him like to follow you, we won't be cherry picking sons of bitches.
Yeah.
Hey, Vinny, like if you wanna,
yeah.
Lots of people, man, out there, especially through all this COVID struggling. You know, I've lost someone recently to this, as you said, up disease of addiction
yeah.
and people falling off of. Can lend some good encouraging words for those watching. I mean, even mental health or just a loved one too,
yeah
you know, struggling.
And I've always said this and I will forever say this, it's just continue to do the next right thing, continue being honest with yourself and everybody around you, and help somebody out every once in a while and things will just fall into place.
Yeah.
That's it, you know. It's like I said earlier, feelings pass. Some feelings last longer than others,
mm-hmm.
but they'll pass. and just like stay in touch with like people who love you. You know, that's what I do. Some people probably hate me calling so much, you know, but it's like I love you, you love me, I'm calling you, you know. If I'm struggling, I'm calling you. You know,
call me anytime.
I'll call you. I'll take that offer up.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Skinny Vinny, thanks, brother.
Thank you, man. Thanks, awesome. Guys. This
good
was
to,
fun.
Yeah, good to do it in person.
Yeah, this was great.
This is the Knocking Doors Down podcast, featuring celebrities, experts, and everyday people who have overcome adversities, including addiction, mental health, and trauma, to live purposeful lives. And that's what Knocking Doors Down is all about.
Strengthening communities, providing resources, building awareness, empowering youth in need to overcome adversity and achieve success. This is what the Carlos Vieira Foundation is all about. Through our campaigns, the Race for Autism, Race to End the Stigma, and Race to Be Drug Free, we're able to help so many in need. Our goal is to provide support to families and children and give these families opportunities that might not normally arise. Learn more and find out how you can get involved. Visit CarlosVieiraFoundation.org today.
This podcast contains the views and opinions of the Knocking Doors Down hosts and their guests to the show. The content here should not be taken as medical advice. The content here is for informational purposes only. And because each person is sharing their unique perspective, please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Views and opinions expressed in the podcast and website are our own and do not represent that of our places of work. While we make every effort to ensure that the information we are sharing is accurate, we welcome any comments, suggestions, or correction of errors. Privacy is of the utmost importance to us. For those wishing anonymity, people, places, and scenarios mentioned in the podcast have been changed to protect confidentiality at the request of certain guests. This website or podcast should not be used in any legal capacity whatsoever, including but not limited to establishing standard of care in a legal sense or as a basis for expert witness testimony. No guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made on the podcast or website. In no way does listening, reading, emailing, or interacting on social media with our content establish a doctor-patient relationship. If you find any errors in any of the content of this podcast or blogs, please send a message through the contact page. This podcast is owned by KDD Media Company.